It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In recent years, there has been a global rise in reported anti-Semitic sentiment and activity, including an alarming number of protests, riots, and attacks on Jews in Europe. A Dutch watchdog group reported a 23% increase in the number of anti-Semitic incidents last year in the Netherlands from 2012. That was also the year a radical Muslim gunman downed children at a Jewish day school in France in one of the deadliest anti-Semitic attacks in recent memory. And anti-Semitic rhetoric is gaining popularity in social media. Ira Forman is the U.S. State Department's special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. The Greater Pittsburgh Holocaust Center is bringing him to Pittsburgh for a special appearance tonight at the Jewish Community Center. He joins us by phone from Washington. Ira Forman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's a pleasure, Paul.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I will mention at this time that I currently serve as vice chair of the program committee at the Holocaust Center. Mr. Forman, as you monitor anti-Semitism worldwide, what are you seeing?
Well, we certainly are seeing spikes this summer in anti-Semitism, whether it be violent incidents, destruction of property, and rhetoric that, frankly, the level, the nastiness, the frequency of that rhetoric is probably greater than we've seen in a long, long time. And so particularly in July and August, somewhat during the time of the violence in Gaza, we saw this uptick, but we think it's not only at all related just to the violence in Gaza, but to rising levels in general that were there even before the violence in the Middle East.
How do you monitor anti-Semitism? How do you keep track of incidents around the globe?
Well, that's pretty straightforward. The State Department, probably some of its most popular publications, are two reports that we put out every year called the International Religious Freedom Report and, earlier in the year, the Human Rights Report. And in both of those reports, we monitor and report on anti-Semitism in countries around the world. This is done, we collect some of the data by some of our people in Washington, but our posts, our embassies, and our consulates all over the world are trained to look for incidents, not just of anti-Semitism, but other human rights violations, other forms of discrimination against religions, ethnicities, racial groups, etc. So we have a process in place of collecting that data and then how we write it up in Washington and work with our posts to put together a final report. So that's our main method of essentially tracking this. But we also, our embassies, on an ongoing basis, talk to Jewish communities around the world when there are reports of trouble. Our office talks to members of the Jewish community around the world and sometimes other NGOs or, in some cases, even government officials. We'll talk to, and this is an additional way we're trying to keep up in the most quick and responsive way to anti-Semitism wherever it might raise its head.
And in terms of combating it, how do you do that?
Well, that's, I think, the $64,000 question. I think we believe that this is a battle that will be taking place many, many years after all of us are gone. So it's an ongoing process, and I think it also evolves at times. And it's something that the U.S. government, I think we're very proud, the U.S. government takes a specific interest in anti-Semitism, and though our offices in the State Department and our Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor, we are combating other forms of discrimination as well. But we do have a special envoy created by Congress. And each envoy, there have been three since the office was created in 2004, each envoy probably has a slightly different take on what combating means. But I think we all have common diplomatic tools in which we can talk privately in private diplomacy. Sometimes there are public statements by various State Department officials and often even the White House to speak out on this. We sometimes work with other allies to highlight these problems to government. We are talking to civil society and talking to them on how, when things like this happen, that they can be a positive aspect. But even the United States government alone is not able to combat it. We've got to work with other governments, with other NGOs, both here and abroad. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort because the levels of anti-Semitism are frightening.
We're talking with Ira Forman. He is the State Department's special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. He is speaking at the Jewish Community Center tonight as part of a special Holocaust Center presentation. And Mr. Forman, what are the concerns that the U.S. State Department has about anti-Semitism being on the rise, particularly in Europe?
Well, the concerns are multiple. I think probably the first concern is if trends continue, one could see the end of certain Jewish communities in Europe, especially some of the smaller ones. These are communities that in some cases have been around 500 years, in some cases 2,500 years, and various times in between. Many of these places, these countries kept their communities even through the Holocaust. But because of rising anti-Semitism, I have been told by some folks that they could see their community ending. Now, it would be a different ending than we saw in the 30s and 40s. It would be people emigrating. And so that's a first concern, and that's a concern we have for the Jewish communities, and it is certainly a tragedy. It would be a tragedy for some of these communities. But I think we also feel at the State Department, perhaps even a greater tragedy, is the tragedy of the societies that these Jewish communities live in. If they're gone, we have certainly a deep belief that multicultural societies, as opposed to monocultures, are more resilient, are more creative, are more dynamic, I think there's even people have told me, I have not looked at the social science literature, but there's even social science literature would bear that out. So we think it would be a tragedy for both local Jewish communities, but also communities, in this case we're talking about Europe, if that happened. So I think that's the that's our immediate concern, and also I think there's a larger concern that we rely upon the friendship of democracies around the world, and many of these places that we're looking at are democracies, and I think it tells a bad story if democracies cannot protect their religious minorities or other minorities. And frankly, when anti-Semitism raises its head, there it often, if not always, is a reflection of other disease in the society, and other discrimination, and other intolerance. And so, for all these reasons, Congress tasked our government with this, creating this office and combating anti-Semitism. And I think these are all reasons that we at the in the U.S. government, the State Department, feel that there are consequences if anti-Semitism is allowed to run free.
And how do you explain the rise in anti-Semitism in Europe, particularly when you compare the state of things now to the way it was in the years leading up to and during much of World War II, when you had totalitarian regimes and dictatorships? We're living in a time when Russia, while creating tension, doesn't have the Soviet bloc. Obviously, with the fall of the Soviet Union, that doesn't exist anymore. you don't have the kind of brutal dictatorships that you had during World War II. So what is going on that is creating this or fanning the flames of anti-Semitism?
Well, that, again, is an excellent question, and I wouldn't pretend I know the full answer. People much smarter than I have wrestled with it, and I don't think anyone has come up with the definitive answer that I'm aware of. Certainly, some people will point to the economic dislocation that much of the world, and particularly the developed world, experienced in the last, roughly 2008. So I guess that's going on 6 years now. So in a place like Greece, when I was visiting there in recently, I was told by a minister that they have 26% unemployment, something like 61% youth unemployment, a drop in gross domestic product since the beginning of the recession of something like 25%. Well, those are shocking numbers. Those are numbers that we in the United States only experienced, at least in terms of GDP growth drop and unemployment. We only experienced those numbers at the very height of the Depression in 1933, and which a time was of great stress to the United States. And you heard people talk about, is this the end of democracies? Can democracies, unlike totalitarian or authoritarian regimes that people saw in Europe, are democracies less capable of dealing with these types of crises? So, again, that minister actually said to me, would other countries in Europe be able to survive, keep their democracies under these circumstances? So I think some people would think that part, although certainly not fully the answer, part of the answer is with this economic dislocation, but I don't think that fully describes it. As someone who likes to follow history and I guess considers himself an amateur historian, I think it's fascinating to look at both the similarities and the differences. There are a lot of differences. The types of regimes you saw in the interwar period, particularly in the late 30s, there were other anti-Semitic regimes in Europe, states that were the governments that were anti-Semitic. We don't largely see that in Europe today. And by the way, we're talking about Europe, but this is a worldwide phenomenon. And outside of North America and Israel, the bulk of world Jewry lives in Europe, but there are substantial populations outside Europe, and they also experience some of this. But we don't have the same types of regimes in Europe that we had in the 30s. And there is a place for refugees. There are more places for refugees to go, and particular Jewish refugees have Israel. The United States and other countries are more open to immigration than they were in the 30s, so there are differences. But then again, you see things in Europe like the rise of right-wing and extreme right-wing parties. For example, in Hungary and Greece, we have openly, very openly, anti-Semitic parties that have significant parliamentary representation and actually have street militia that can inflict violence on their enemies. Now that, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, we haven't seen that type of party in Europe, parliamentary party, since right before the Nationalist Socialists took over power in Germany in 1933. That's frightening. But I don't think that says this is 1939 again. We do live in a different time, but it is something one should note. The types of, and as again, we talk about, like the 30s, there's economic dislocation. But I don't think any of these things describe fully what's happening, and I wish I knew exactly why. But even without knowing all the full answers of why, we can do a lot to expose the issue and combat it.
We're speaking with Ira Forman, the U.S. State Department Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism here on Essential Pittsburgh. The Greater Pittsburgh Holocaust Center is bringing him to the city for a special appearance tonight at the Jewish Community Center. And Mr. Forman, part of your job in combating anti-Semitism is to monitor what is happening on social media. How is anti-Semitism gaining popularity on social media?
This is one, if not the most difficult problems and growing problems in the field of hate and discrimination, not just of anti-Semitism. The ability of people who perhaps 20 years ago would be in their basement producing mimeograph flyers that they can hand out to hundreds of people. Now, people can reach thousands and tens of thousands, and some people reach millions of people on the internet. And this is again, many other commentators have noted the type of rhetoric that goes on in, over the internet and over social media. Sometimes the rhetoric that we wouldn't have in a one-to-one personal relationships, direct conversations. So it is huge, and of course, in the United States, we have a strong belief in free speech. So we tend not to, as a government, want to censor things unless it's some kind of speech that calls for immediate or violence, or such as, I guess, the great Supreme Court decision where people spoke of you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. But that's a high bar, and we allow a lot of type of hate speech because the government doesn't stop it. But nonetheless, for example, all the social media companies, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or others, they have terms of service agreements in which they allow people to use their social media, but they have certain rules. So terms of service sometimes can take these things down without, it's not a matter of government censorship. So that's one way I know people, some people try to combat this. One of the things we believe strongly in the United States and the State Department is combating bad speech with good speech. And that could be on the internet or social media, but it also can be in other forms of media, the old media. So that when in this country, again, we don't ban certain types of speech. You can deny the Holocaust here. You can write or say hateful things. But there is a tendency in the United States that when you do that, that lots and lots of people will criticize you. Now, first, government people, people in the political process, office holders, without censoring you, will often say, this is not appropriate, this is not right, and you should not be saying this. But beyond that, we have a very vigorous civil society in this in the United States where, whether it's clergy or heads of civic organizations or nonprofits, et cetera, community leaders, celebrities, when people say something that's hateful, whether it's anti-Semitic or other forms of intolerance, people in this country speak out. And it is effective, not totally effective, but a very effective break against hate speech. So I'm digressing a little bit here about the internet and social media, but it works on the internet and social media as well. So I think we want to encourage cultures overseas where bad speech is overwhelmed by good speech.
Is there a tie between any rise in anti-American sentiment with anti-Semitism?
Well, that's, again, an excellent question. One of the things I think you see about anti-Semitism, it manifests itself differently in different countries. That doesn't mean there are not similarities, but there are different forms of anti-Semitism we see around the world. And so there's no one cookie-cutter approach. There's left-wing anti-Semitism. There's right-wing anti-Semitism. There's anti-Semitism that comes out of immigrant, often Muslim immigrant groups. Not that these groups are all anti-Semitic, far from it, but certainly we see some of that. So there's all these types of anti-Semitism, and sometimes it is connected with anti-Americanism. One type of anti-Semitism we see is that is very tightly controlled to conspiracies. The old well-known forgery, even though it's a well-known forgery, circulates through much of the world. And sometimes when I've visit countries, I'm able to walk into a bookstore and buy this book, is The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, the essentially well-known forgery done at the beginning of the century by Tsarist secret police describing a worldwide Jewish conspiracy. And when you have Jewish conspiracies, they're often associated at times with conspiracies with the United States. So we see it sometimes, but I don't, not sure there certainly is not a direct correlation between the two.
Ira Forman is the U.S. State Department Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Anti-Semitism. He is speaking in Pittsburgh tonight, the Greater Pittsburgh Holocaust Center, bringing him to the city for a special appearance at the Jewish Community Center. Ira Forman, joining us by phone from Washington, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
It was my pleasure, Paul.
Coming up, travel contributor Elaine LeBaum has some fall sports travel suggestions. That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.